Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Tony Sanchez Show. Live from Born and Raised, the Tony Sanchez Show is brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now, here are your hosts, Russ Langer and Caleb Herring.
Yes, and along with yours truly, Russ Langer and Caleb Herring, we have head coach Tony Sanchez. We are here at Born and Raised, and the program presented by Finley Toyota. What a night here at Born and Raised. We've got almost a packed house here. World Series is on. We're going to talk Rebel football for the next hour, and we're pleased you could join us. Coach, how's it going?
Going good tonight.
Good, good. Caleb, good to see you.
It is good to be here. It is good to be here. This atmosphere is pretty great right now. It is a packed house at Born and Raised. Likely a lot of Dodger fans in the building.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some Astros sprinkled in here, but it's a good night at Born and Raised. Talk some football.
Well, we heard some people cheering when the Astros scored, but that was right when you walked in, so it could have been either way.
Yeah, it could have been for me. That's probably for my entry. We're going to go with that.
That's it. We'll go with that. Finley Toyota, by the way, their 2017 model clearance is underway. All 2017 models are being sold at clearance prices. Come in today for the best selection at Finley Toyota. All right, Rebels dropped one at home against Utah State on homecoming this past Saturday. A tough second half. Rebels looked good in the first half, but the first thing, Coach, to address on the minds of a lot of fans, I know you've been asked a lot about this all week, but Armani Rogers took a shot to the head. How's he doing?
He did. He was kind of rolling out to his left and took a shoulder into the head and knocked him out of the game and late in the first half. And he's doing better. You know, he got up. I don't know if you noticed, but he came out during the second half and was actually there on the sideline, you know, kind of coaching the guys up and everything. And when he came in Sunday, a lot of the symptoms had cleared up. Monday was a lot better. Today was even better. So he's almost at baseline now. So we're not going to rush it. We'll wait. He's questionable for the game. You know, we're getting the other guys prepared, so we'll kind of see towards the end of the week where we're at right now, but he's doing good. So anybody worried about him, he's all right and on the road to recovery.
It was tough to watch that because of all the hits that he's taken, all the times he's lowered his shoulders and become sort of a power runner. A stumble, a trip from behind that falls into a guy's shoulder is the one that takes him out.
You know, when you watch film, it's the weirdest thing when it comes to some of those head injuries. I mean, some of the blows you think that would cause them don't, and then some of the ones that are just, they seem kind of glancing. It wasn't like a real hard head-to-head hit. I mean, definitely put his shoulder into him. I don't think it wasn't intentional, but it looked a little routine, you know, kind of a glancing blow, but, you know, sometimes you get knocked in the wrong spot, it has that effect. So I'm just glad he's okay.
Well, the other thing about it is, in looking at the replay, yeah, he took a shoulder to the right side of the head, but when he hit the turf, his left side of the head hit the turf also.
You know what? It did. When we went back and watched it, it didn't hit as impactful as we thought. So the first impact's really what got him, but it was more of a shoulder going down and kind of glanced a little bit. But, you know, regardless, you know, it happened, and, you know, he's all right, and, you know, we'll have him back hopefully this week, maybe next week.
All right, it's a part of the game. He's a tough kid. He'll bounce back. The team obviously responded well. I think initially when he went out, the team responded pretty well to him going out emotionally. I think that's one of the things that you want to see when your team loses its leader like that. I think, you know, there were no heads hanging down on the sideline. I think everybody was still ready to fight that second half because it was still a long game at that point.
It really was. And, you know, the guy, you know, once you saw him get up on his feet to kind of alleviate some of that stress that the guys are feeling because, you know, they love him. And so him walking back kind of assured those guys. And you're right. I mean, you just look at the way they responded early on that first drive of the second half. It was a pretty darn good drive, you know, driving on their side of the field, getting ourselves with a scoring opportunity, missed a guy on third down the seam, and then end up putting the ball down to the five, which they returned. They flipped the field on us. So we responded the way we came out, but after that, it was a little flat and had some turnovers. So
a lot of talk this week ever since the game about concussion protocol.
Yep.
Is that a case of waiting simply until the symptoms go away? It's not really a set time, is it?
Well, no, it's not. And, you know, all sports have them. I know that, you know, even the Golden Knights are talking about one of their guys, you know, earlier this week. So what it is essentially is when the injury occurs, you test him the next day to see where he is baseline from a preseason test. So the guys come in, do a preseason test. They've got to answer some questions. They got to do some memorization type stuff, and it kind of shows your response time, right? So you come in and you retest, along with some of the physical symptoms. And once those things start to decrease, then you're now in the concussion protocol and you want to get to zero within those 7 days. Otherwise, they can't play in that next game. So the worst thing you do is when they're not 100% healed, throw them back into a practice, throw them back into a game. They get a pop in, which would have been a real minimal concussion that could easily have been overcome. You turn it into something that's prolonged and becomes a lot more severe.
I remember taking those tests back in the playing days because they kind of initiated back then, taking those tests preseason. Those tests are a little bit rough. You know, they're not meant to be, you know, something that's an easy thing to pass. Like you said, testing the response time. But sometimes I always wonder how much of that is affected just by your fatigue through the season. You may not necessarily be concussed, but, hey, you were feeling better the day you took the test.
100%. Did you get a good night's sleep?
Right.
I mean, there's so many variables. I don't know if we 100% know
the
answers right now. We're trying to figure out the best ways to keep the game safe, to make sure we monitor it. But, you know, it's a weird deal. You know, I mean, even when you look at some of the research and studies that have been done, you know, you'll get one guy that, you know, played a long, long time, and he's fine, another guy that didn't. And then they haven't really done a lot of the studies comparing it to other people and their other jobs, you know, and, you know, is it a drastic change from a normal person that was a construction worker or was a drill operator or, you know, this and that. So it's kind of an interesting deal. It's fascinating when you read all the stuff, but I'm glad they're working on it and making the game safer.
Coach, when you were playing, when you were a wide receiver, what was the worst injury you had? Did you have a concussion or anything?
You know, I remember returning a kickoff against San Francisco City College and returning the kick, hit from the side, out cold, right? They come over, do the Epsom salts, wake up, I'm in two plays later. You know, and that's just the way we rolled back then. I mean, it was, you know, I'm not saying, you know, we should do that now, but, I mean, it was. I was out. They, you know, gave me the Epsom salts, and you wake up, and you know, you go to the sideline, you're okay, cobweb's gone, yep, ready to go, and you run back in and play. So that's what we're trying to eliminate from the game right now.
Yeah.
I don't blame anybody, though. I do, you know.
Be a lot safer without that, you know.
Exactly. Just got to rub some dirt on the head and get back in there.
Yeah.
Now to the game itself. Let's start with the positives. Really a shootout in the first half. Rebels did a lot of good things initially in offense, including dominating time of possession.
Yeah, you know, it, on one side of the ball, real positive first half, real frustrating half on the other side. You know, offensively, anytime you go out, rush for 300 yards, have some good pass completion, score 28 points, you're doing a good job. Unfortunately, three times we had a 14-point lead, and it evaporated fast. You know, you get the 7-point lead, defense gets you the ball back, extend it to a 14-point lead, and then you've got that wheel route down the sidelines in a cover three where, you know, you've got a safety not playing at depth. He's got to get back further, corner who's turned the wrong direction, and you give up a cheap touchdown. Now, it may happen one time, but lightning shouldn't strike twice, right? So, we get the ball, we extend the lead. Defense gets us a turnover, right? Extend the lead. We kick off, and they flip the field on the kickoff, right? Third and 15, they convert that, which, again, you got to be better in those long situations 2 weeks in a row. You know, you had a third and 24 against Air Force that they converted, which was a big deal in that game. They end up scoring, and then we extend the lead again into the 28-14, and they have a 3-by-1 set, and number two down the seam. Again, we're in cover three, safety not at depth. We have no reroute by the drop-down safety or backer, and it results in them putting the game within 7 points. Armani goes down. They end up going and scoring right before half. So we had plenty of opportunities to have a comfortable lead at half, and we're going to have to learn to execute at a higher level, communicate in the back end at a higher level, and execute our technique at a higher level. So, again, defense caused some turnovers, which is good. Got a couple stops, but gave up two cheap touchdowns, and then you have a special teams miscue, and all of a sudden you're going into halftime in a tie ball game, which you had no business being tied at half.
That's right. Those big shot plays that were just pretty much busted covers, like you said, no disruption at the line of scrimmage, just a free release down the middle of the seam. Those kind of plays definitely are backbreakers. I think as an offense, you build a 14-point lead. Your defense is doing good. They actually, early in the first half, did a good job on third down defensively.
Yep.
So it was all things looked good early to start, but those two plays that kind of put 14 points on the board without much time going off the clock, without really realizing what happened, those things that keep the teams in the game.
It does, you know, and it just shifts momentum of the game. I mean, you're sitting there and you got a 14-point game. We talked all week about you got to find the crack, and once you find the crack, you got to break it open. And twice we cracked them, and we could never break them open. You know, I mean, you get another stop. You know, even if the offense doesn't score, they consume more time. I think at halftime we had a lot more time of possession. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I want to say it was close to 10 minutes. You know, so when you have 10 minutes of time of possession and you put 28 points on the board, you ought to be in a good spot. But we all know you can play. The difference between offense and defense is defense doesn't have the punt. You know, you can move the ball, punt the ball, you know what, and you could be doing your job. Defensively, you can play great, 70-yard touchdown. Play great, 75-yard touchdown. You can play great, kick return across the field. I mean, the big plays are the things that really kill you on defense.
The tone was set right away. Rebels' first possession, 7 plays, 80 yards, 14-yard scamper by Lexington Thomas. Put him at quickly.
Yeah, and Lex is just a great player. I mean, I think he's the 8th leading rusher in the United States right now.
Yep.
7.2 yards a carry, which is well above anybody in the Mountain West. And it's because of his explosion. If we get him into that second level, it's a 50-50 he's going to score. He's just got to make one safety miss or somebody because nobody's catching him. So I'm really proud of him as the way he's developed. And, you know, and a guy a little slight in stature, the way he sticks his nose in there and pass pros and does some of those unseen things. And he played with a ton of energy on Saturday. I don't know if you noticed, but
no,
his scoring touchdown, running to his teammates. There was one time we're screaming at him to get off the field. We're trying to kick a PAT. And he's running around trying to make sure he gives every offensive line, you know, a handshake. So you got to love that, you know. And I know that's why the team loves him so much.
I know playing against Utah State, we talked about it before the game, that their defensive mindset is kind of a blue-collar, work hard, everybody to the ball. And there's times where Lex is in a crowd a couple of times last week where there's like 6 or 7 bodies around him, and he found a way to squirt out and find yardage a couple of times. It's kind of redundant to say, but he's a special kind of running back.
He really is, you know. And he's, it's kind of funny because he's the kind of guy where you want to keep him around that 17, 18, 19 carry mark. You know, you don't want to get him into those, you know, high 20s and mid 20s. He's just not built like that, and he stays so much fresher and more explosive. So it's really good to see Campbell play the way he has lately, you know, taking some of that burden off him, you know, obviously with Armani running. So that'll be a challenge this week. We got to do a good job of making sure that, you know, we don't say, okay, Armani's down, so now the run game is just him. We're going to have to disperse that ball. You know, again, if in fact Armani plays great, if he doesn't, then we got to make sure that we don't overload him. I think part of the reason he's playing so well is because of the number of touches he's getting.
And Lexington, the second half wasn't quite the same. He was he's a little gimpy after one
yeah.
play, and you got Campbell in there pretty fast.
He did. You know, you saw him run the ball one time, ankle tweaked a little bit, and, you know, I tease him all the time. I say, you're like kind of like a sports car. You know what I mean? Anything goes wrong, we'll take you into the shop and get you
yeah.
fixed up, right?
Yeah.
He laughed about that one. But, no, he did. He got a little banged up a little bit, you know, held him out, and, you know, he went back in a couple times, but he just didn't look comfortable as much as he was in the first half. And, you know, and Campbell's more than capable of doing it, but he's fine. He was Sunday night. He was, you know, running around again. And so I just think he got, you know, a little dinged up, but it'll be all right.
All right, after the Rebels went up 7-0, the defense came up big as Utah State tried a reverse, resulting in a fumble. Brian Keyes right there to pounce on it. Then 7 plays later, Armani goes in for a touchdown run. It's 14-0 Rebels.
Yeah, that was a great play. Pops, Jason Fowle, did. I mean, it's one of the plays that I showed the team on Sunday night as far as we call it, Gatta, you know, running on the ball. And he's a tackle, reverse is coming to him, plants his foot, and all he's trying to do is get ourselves back in the huddle. And he runs literally 30 yards across the field, swipes the arm out and causes that fumble. So that was good to see. And then the next play, Lex breaks off a big run. And I believe that was a drive that we had a fourth down that we went for it on. We had
yeah.
a 4th and 6.
Nice.
And he converted that. And then that ended up leading to – and the two plays after that, those were probably 2 of the best power plays we ran all year. That quarterback power, I mean, they just completely parted the seas. And at that point, we were playing a very, very physical game up front. And you know, the thing about it, early in the game, you know, we had a drop ball, but he had a nice ball to Keyes. He had a couple of good passes early, and they played us really true. We were playing against a 7-man and 6-man front in that entire first half, and it's one of the biggest things that changed in the 3rd and 4th quarter.
We're going to talk about that mindset of going for it on 4th down early. We talked about it in the booth that there's a few times over the past couple of weeks where he got down in the scoring zone, had to settle for a field goal, or something went wrong and got pushed out of a scoring opportunity. Going for it on 4th, especially with that QB power play that you guys have been running really well down in the scoring zone, is that something that we can look forward to?
Yeah, you know what? We're gonna be aggressive, and if we feel like we got the right play call, if we feel like it's something we can execute, and obviously depending on the time, game, score, things like that, you're gonna see us go for it. We had the 4th and 1. To me, that was an easy decision. You know, it was inside the 20. You might, you know, some guys think, hey, put points on the board. And there are times, depending who we're playing, maybe you do. But in that situation, when the score is 0-0, I'm going to take my 50-50 shot of getting the 1 yard. Now, later on in the game, when it was 4th and 6, you know, with a backup kicker in there, you know, you're sitting there looking, you're right at the fringe of his range and his comfort level. You know, we talked on the sidelines on the headsets. We thought we had a play call that would work, and it was actually a quarterback draw, you know. So it is kind of a gamble play, you know, but it paid off. And it just added a bunch of excitement. You saw our guys on the sideline. Everyone just got jacked up that, you know, that we went for it and got it. So, and if you don't get it, you still have a lead, and they're still on their own side of the field and deep into their own side of the field.
With the Rebels up 21-7 when Lexington broke off that his longest run, the 41-yard sprint, Rebels were up 21-7. That's when the special teams issues started to pop up a little bit. They had the Scarver 70-yard kickoff return, which set up a touchdown, so it was then 21-14.
Yeah, you know, so you kick the ball left hash, you know, getting it down to the five. You'd like to see some more distance, but he's given us his effort, right? They did a great job of pinning and pushing out, which would be our left side, right, the returner's right side. And what happens there is you got to look at the intent of the returner. We talk about that all the time. So those lead-up backs are going to show you the intent of the return, right? Is it a middle lead-out? Is it a right lead-out? Is it a boundary return? So they ran a right boundary return. And if you notice our right side, when we avoided to the outside. You've got to avoid over the top. You have to avoid to the boundary because the intent of the returner is there. And we had two guys who just barely missed them, and it all resulted from them evading from the outside rather than over the top. Where the intent of the return was.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of times people don't see it, but when you avoid to the outside, that you give that returner a direct line, and that's the last thing you want as a coach and as a player on a special team is a returner coming north and south with a full steam ahead, because you want that to stretch out as far as you can to get your coverage downfield. If he has a direct line, it makes it tough to tackle anybody, especially somebody who shows some elusiveness in space there.
No doubt.
Then when it was 28-14, the Rebels, again, the D came up big. Jacques Kalila this time forced a fumble. And again, Brian Keyes was there to recover the fumble.
Yeah, no, that was big. That was that was a big one right there. Kalili's been phenomenal. 2 weeks in a row, and he's a very physical kid. You see it. I mean, he has no fear when he runs in there. I mean, there are some guys that go in there and break down and tackle. There's no breakdown. He is running right through people. And so that's why he ended up causing that, and Brian recovered. And then we were able to turn that into points, which was a big, big deal, you know. One of the big things on that, too, is, you know, really proud of Armani. We had a third and eight. And on a third and eight, we had a pass play called, right, obviously passing down all week. Anytime they ran a blizzard, all-out blitz, and we had numbers on the edge, we were going to check the option. And, you know, most young quarterbacks aren't going to check the option on that, you know, in that situation. And he did. He checked into the option on a third and eight and pitched it to Campbell and converted it. And that was all Armani just being a real field general out there and making a great call that honestly surprised us he checked it in that situation, but it was the right check.
All right, Utah State closed within 28-21, and then they put together a 66-yard drive shortly before the half, and it was tied at 28 going to the locker room.
Yeah, and that's tough. You know, when you build those leads, when you win three times, you have 14-point leads, and then you lose your quarterback, and then you go in tied at the half. That's kind of a stinger there. But you got to regroup. It's still a 0-0 game. Guys had energy in the locker room, and, you know, we talked about it. Kurt's been there before, and we have to do a better job of coming out and performing. It's frustrating, I'll be honest with you. 3 weeks in a row, you know, we've gone in the locker room with an opportunity to win a football game. You know, Air Force, a big opportunity to win the game. Last week, you shouldn't be in that situation, but you're still in a 0-0 game, you know. And then you go to the San Diego State game, and it's a 20-10 game. So none of those are out of the question at all. And we've got to do a better job of being a more mature football team and coming out and handling our business. So it'll all start this week. We've got to get going.
All right, we're going to take our first break. Before we do, we'll let you know this is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Finley Toyota. And the Tony Sanchez Radio Show is also being streamed live on the all-new UNLV Game Day app. Stay up to date with your Rebel football team stats, game schedules, and score notifications. This Saturday, you can listen live. The app is the Rebels take on Fresno State. This Saturday at 7 o'clock, search UNLV Game Day in the iTunes and Google Play stores right now. First break, and we'll be back on the other side. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield.
On behalf of UNLV Sports Properties, we'd like to extend our deepest sympathies to those affected by the 1 October attack. Please join us in supporting the victims by going to GoFundMe.com and donating to the Las Vegas Victims Fund. We are Vegas Strong.
In a blink, just think of all the games, teams, hopes, and dreams that live and die. Because greatness lies in the blink of an eye. With the Contour Sports app from Cox, you can watch a game live and track multiple games at once, all right there on your TV. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. This is the sports app on Contour from Cox. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person and the next. Until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back, because what's good for the community is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
At Findlay Toyota, our mission statement is written in our showroom for everyone to see. It reads, a world-class environment dedicated to building lifelong relationships through integrity and commitment. If that sounds like a family business you'd like to do business with, we invite you to come in today. I'm John Barr, and remember,
he'll do anything, at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebel student-athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor's Series and the hundreds of student-athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor's Series.
The Governor Series, presented by NV Energy and Barrick Gold, is an all-sport competition between Nevada's two premier collegiate athletic departments, the Rebels in the South and the Wolfpack in the North. Points will be awarded equally for each sport during the head-to-head competition between the Rebels and the Wolfpack. And the universities will also compete in the classroom, as this series uniquely incorporates points for academic achievement by student-athletes. Follow the standings all season long at unlvrebels.com/governorseries.
On behalf of UNLV Sports Properties, we'd like to extend our deepest sympathies to those affected by the 1 October attack. Please join us in supporting the victims by going to GoFundMe.com and donating to the Las Vegas Victims Fund. We are Vegas Strong.
And welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the show presented by Findlay Toyota. Russ Langer here, Caleb Herring, and the head coach, Tony Sanchez. Come into Findlay Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. And a word about our hosts here, Born and Raised, free parlay cards. Come in for those. Fill out one entry a day for up to five per week. A chance to win $100 in free play or a gift card. UNLV specials include $3 Draft Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra. $4 Shock Top and Four Peaks, $20 bucket of five beers, Bud Light or Mick Ultra, and NFL specials, $6 Jameson and Malibu, $6 Absolute Bloody Marys. Also, this here place, Born and Raised, is the official Golden Knights bar. Come watch all the away games here amongst fellow Knights. Go Knights, go. And if you have tickets to see the Vegas Golden Knights, you can get this, picked up at Born and Raised for a direct ride to T-Mobile on the Golden Knights Express by RTC. A grand total of $2. What will $2 buy you anymore? Departure times of the game from Born and Raised, an hour and 50 minutes, an hour 30 minutes, and an hour 10 minutes prior to the start of the Golden Knights game. It'll also bring you back to Born and Raised afterwards, approximately 20, 30, and 45 minutes after the game has ended. Anyone 21 years or older that brings in their ticket stub after any Knights home game gets a free Budweiser draft beer. And be sure to book your next private event or party with us here at Born and Raised in our bungalow room at Born and Raised Las Vegas, or in our convertible room at Born and Raised in Henderson. So there you go. Coach, obviously defense, and you mentioned it a couple of times during the week, major struggles. How much of that is fundamental techniques and assignment?
Well, I mean, some of it is. There's always assignment errors. You know, you got to do a good job of making sure with all the offense that people throw at you nowadays, it's so important to communicate, get lined up right, being the right checks, and you know, there's a lot. I mean, you have your quarterbacks on defense. I mean, there's very few plays where you call from the sideline and they line up in what you think, and you know, you just go and run. So we got to do a better job of communicating, and we've got to, you know, we got to continue as we grow and build this program. We got to continue to develop depth. And the thing is, it's frustrating. In certain areas we're really, really thin. I mean, right now we've got a lot of banged up linebackers. That had nothing to do with the results of the game, but it's hard and frustrating at times to see guys struggle that are young, that probably shouldn't be in there at the time, you know, not having enough depth in certain areas, you know, that will linebacker spot. You see Johnny Stanton running around making plays, you know, good for Johnny. What an absolute stud to do that, but he shouldn't have to be in there, you know, and those are things that we got to overcome. You know, it's, what do I say? We're at 72 scholarship guys. We'll bring in a class of 25 for the first time in 4 years. We're going to finally be over the 80 mark, right? And then those type of things will start to put a higher caliber guy sitting behind the one guy that can then rotate. We've got certain guys like, you know, you look at Chauncey, and Chauncey's averaging about 80 snaps a game. You know, if you're a starting safety in college football, you ought to be playing about 60, and your backup should be playing about 20 to 22, you know. And those are things that we've got to get better at, and you see it later in the games. We really, really break down at times, you know. And obviously the first half had nothing to do with being tired. Assignment errors, mental lapses, inexcusable, you know. And part of that's coaching. You've got to do a better job of that. It always starts from the top. We got to do a better job of preparing our guys, coaching our guys up. And they got to do a better job of it translating from the practice field onto the game field. And it's got to sustain for four quarters. It can't just be a good series here and there.
One of the things that I noted, too, is the emotional highs and lows. I think as a football team, just watching it from a viewer's perspective, as a football team, the highs are very high. And I think a lot of the energy goes into the high moments at UNLV. That's why you see the explosive halves where you're going up 14 points, or like in Air Force, going up 30 points on a team, because the highs are very high. But then when you come back down from that, it's almost like a sugar rush, like a crash. Like the team kind of just, the fatigue sets in, and then the assignments start to get a little sloppy because you're tired, all that kind of stuff. So the crash just happens. And that's what the second half has been for the past couple of weeks, was pretty much the crash.
Yeah, it has. You know, it's been, there's a couple factors involved that are both frustrating. Take the San Diego game out of the equation. You know, they did a good job of being more physical later in the game to us. But when you go to the Air Force game, you look at it, and, you know, the one thing is, you know, we held on pretty long defensively, and there was going to be a time where they were going to go ahead and get some yards, and we really needed to get going offensively. Problem is, we didn't have the ball enough offensively the second half. And then we also made a calculated mistake by not putting the ball in the air more. When they loaded the box up, you got to take some more shots. You have to be more explosive, you know. And this last game, we got really limited. When Kurt went in, the way they triggered their defense, the way the safeties dropped into the box, they now didn't have to play the game true, and that really hurt. So, you know, when Kurt's in there, we got to do a good job of figuring out, you know, what is going to be our best opportunity to throw the ball in those situations in an area that he's comfortable. You know, the game plan does change. It doesn't change in the run game at all, but it does change in the passing game and the things that we need to do to be able to move the ball down the field. You know, and again, you know, looking at the rush, I mean, there was a couple of times where we had good protection, we had time, and anytime a guy's a number two or a three, you just haven't got the reps, and all of a sudden now, you know, you're looking, you're like, you saw it in that first drive. We drive down, I believe, on the 47 on a third down situation, and we've got keys down the seam. And you see him look over, glance. They have a free runner coming, but he's about 4 yards away, and his eyes go to the free runner, and he never looked back up. I mean, it's hard to do, but stand in the pocket, let it fly, and take the shot, you know. And the more experience you get, the more comfortable you get doing that. So there's some different factors that have created a little staleness on offense in the second half.
Question for you here, Coach, regarding the defense. Now, obviously, you want the current starters to be able to play and improve. But to what degree do you think some of the younger players might get some more opportunities?
Well, they have, because some of the current starters have been out. Now, defensive front-wise, we're actually playing pretty good. Pops and Hughes are as good of two defensive tackles as there are in the entire conference. And everyone, I mean, nobody's running the ball right up the middle on us, you know. Our defensive ends have been pretty stout. We've been a little thin in the linebacker area, and really it's the center of the defense when you look at it. We've been attacked with our safeties. We've been attacked up the middle with especially linebacker depth. Farrell's done a good job. He's young. He's getting better every single day. Keys, early on, didn't show much consistency. It's why, you know, Farrell ended up getting the start. Now he's doing a better job. You know, Bailey played a half of a game. He, you know, I don't know if anybody noticed, but he's our leading tackler. He didn't play in the second half, and that hurt us quite a bit. And, you know, he's a tough kid, though. If you look the last couple of weeks, he's got a couple stingers, and he'll come off for a series or two, go back on. You know, finally this week, we've kind of limited what he's doing out there. So we'll see how he is for Saturday. So some of these younger guys are getting opportunities, and you know, sometimes maybe you wish some of them weren't, you know. And but they'll be okay. They're learning on the run, and they're working hard, and, you know, they'll keep growing and getting better. There's a lot of football left. There's five games left. Five great opportunities in front of us. You know, we play some good football teams. I don't know if we play a great football team. I know we're not a great football team. So it's one of those deals where there's going to be some great opportunities out there if you can sustain and learn to play a second half of football. Again, take advantage of the opportunities you have. When you have a lead, extend the lead, you know. You know, that again, last week that was an issue, but it wasn't an issue against Air Force. Air Force, we had a huge lead and didn't sustain it. This week, we end up giving up the lead, but we're still in a good situation. And the second half, we got to come out. I told our guys today, we practiced a little different this week, but we had a big break in between Team O and Team D. And when the offense went back out after the break, I said, this is the second half. It is so important for us to go and put 7 points on the board early in the second half. We do that, you'll see a whole different level of confidence. You'll see guys with a lot more swagger. And then defenses, they have to play it true.
Brian Key's obviously a big part of the defense. He's recovered three fumbles now, but he did come in and out of the games a little bit banged up at one point.
Yeah, you know, he's fine. I mean, he's like everybody else. You're sitting there in week eight, you're banged up, so what? Keep going. You know, I mean, everybody's banged up. We got DeAndre Sanders got an ankle looks like a melon, and, you know, Saxlid, you know, he same thing. He's all banged up. And I tell you what, though, we've got some guys that have really done a really good job of playing through it, and it's been a big, big difference, you know. And there's been some teams that have really struggled to get back on the field and fight through injuries. And we don't want guys playing when, you know, it's going to be long term, but you know, if you got an elbow, you got a banged up ankle, you're not feeling that, you got to go, you know. And that's what great teams do. They go and they fight through that, and we're starting to see that maturation in this team, you know. And it was funny, I mentioned it early on during camp, you know, with the big medical tent back there at the end, and Pops grabbed me one time. He goes, Coach, look, this is unbelievable. I said, what? And he goes, there's nobody in the tent. And, you know, in years past, there'd be 14 guys out there, you know, drinking pina coladas and sitting in the tent. And so, you know, our guys, they're toughening up, and that's a good thing. We just got to play a little better.
Yeah, the mark of toughness is always, when I was playing, it was always finding the difference between being hurt and being injured. Injuries, you can't. You just, your body won't let you do it. You can't take the field. You're not going to be anywhere near who you are at 100%. When you're hurt, at this point in the season, like you said, everybody's hurt. Everybody's playing with something.
Yep.
You know, some sort of bruise. Everybody should be in treatment on Sundays.
You got to learn to live, you know, in the land of the uncomfortable.
Absolutely. That's what football is. You know, it's an uncomfortable sport meant to be played by people that are comfortable being uncomfortable. So that's what football is.
Kurt Palahniuk, after the game, also made the point about the importance of energy. He said, if your energy level is good, doesn't matter what happened the previous week, you go out and you apply that.
100%. I mean, we talk about that all the time. And, you know, that's one thing that makes you feel good is when you know the messaging is resonating. Because a lot of times, it's funny, coaches, we talk about it all the time when you watch kids getting interviewed and they just repeat the speeches and repeat, and you're like, all right, they're listening. They're still listening. They're still engaged, you know. So he's right. It's all about energy level. And You know, and you brought it up, Caleb. It's not even about being high all the time. It's just being – there's an even-keeled area where sometimes it may modulate up and modulate down a little bit, but you got to stay in that even-keeled area because if you get too high, then there's a big crash. If you get too low, obviously it's hard to recover. But great football teams, they'll have their moments of energy, but they'll bring themselves back to balance fast, you know, because you have to have that, you know. It's just – it's like living life, right? I mean,
right.
You want to be around people that understand how to have perspective and, you know, celebrate some successes, but don't get too crazy about it. And, you know, get a little upset about bad things, but don't go all the way down about it, you know. And that's where you got to learn to live. It's where you got to learn to play. It's where you got to learn to practice.
It's one of the toughest lessons I had to learn in life, and it resonated from football into my life where, like you said, the highs can't be too high. But one of my high school coaches told me, I don't know where this quote originated. I don't know if he was the originator, but he told me it has to be like water off a duck's back. Eat good and bad. It has to be like water off a duck's back. And at the time, I'm thinking, why would I want to forget the good stuff? I want to celebrate that, you know. But the good stuff, as a quarterback especially, he's speaking to me as a quarterback, it got to be like water off a duck's back because you have to play the next series. You have to play the next game. And it's all a new experience every time. So you have to come at it with the same laser focus if you want to be productive.
But that's how you compete at this time of the year, too. You know, I mean, let's face it. You know, we're talking right now, and you know, we're sitting at a situation where we're 2-5. That was not the expectation. You know, at the very worst, I mean, you know, from Air Force in the first game, you should be sitting here at a minimum of 4-3. You're not. You got 5 to go, and all of a sudden now those postseason opportunities are starting to minimize. Well, how do you fight through it? It's all perspective. It's all rationale. It's all understanding. You know, from our coach's perspective. You know, for me, talking to those guys, we are building, we're changing culture. It doesn't happen overnight. With our players, it's them understanding that there's still opportunity. It's about practice, it's about focus, it's about your level of commitment to the process every single day, no matter how good or how bad it is. There's great days ahead for the Rebels, but it's about fighting through these moments, you know, and fighting through, you know, disappointing expectations. And but you know what, you still got opportunity in front of you, and it's, again, water off a duck's back. You got to care. You should feel that trickle coming off the back, and it ought to sting a little bit.
Right.
But it shouldn't make you flinch. It shouldn't make you turn your head. Go back to work.
After this break, we'll come back and talk about the game coming up this Saturday at 7 o'clock in Fresno. Rebels will take on Fresno State, and we're going to chat all about that after this. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield.
Energy never disappears. It simply gets passed on to the next person and the next. Until before you know it, the entire community can feel it. In the last 5 years, we've given more than $27 million and over 175,000 volunteer hours to Nevada nonprofits. And we'll continue to give back, because what's good for the community is good for all of us. Learn more at nvenergy.com/powerofgood.
Football is back, so you know what that means. It's the time to gather back at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. And why would you go anywhere else? We have over 32 TVs, great Budweiser specials for all Rebel games, and the best bar food voted by you in the 2017 Best of Las Vegas survey. Yep, another one. Come be a part of the excitement this season and join other Rebel fans as they cheer on the team and cheers to a win. Or if you want to host your own viewing party, ask about reserving our bungalow room. Born and Raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and in Henderson on St. Rose and Eastern.
Rebels fans, we want you to win. Start posting on social media with the hashtag LesOlsonIT for your chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card every 2 weeks and be entered into a grand prize drawing for a 60-inch 4K TV. Whether you need to copy it, print it, scan it, or store it, Les Olson is there for all of your office technology needs. Just Les Olson it. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for details.
Les Olson Company.
If you want to scale a mountain, buy boots. If you want to turn your crush into something more, say hi. At Country Financial, we know nothing is insurmountable if you just start small. Sometimes, when you have more questions than answers, it might seem easier to do nothing at all. So, whether you're protecting the things you love or preparing for tomorrow, don't get overwhelmed. Get started. We understand every situation is unique. That's why Country Financial helps you take small steps today with personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Too often, too late comes too soon. So when you're ready to start, we're ready to help every step of the way. Country Financial. Meet your local representative at countryfinancial.com.
A great time! Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
More. More is good. Everybody likes more, including your car. Why? Because more has arrived at Chevron. That's right. Now Chevron with Techron has even more cleaning power to clean up deposits left by low-quality gas. And I'm not just talking about Chevron Supreme. Chevron went all out and put more cleaning power in every grade, every gallon. So that's more cleaning power for your car. And cleaning up deposits restores lost gas mileage, and every car loves that. Chevron with Techron. Now with more cleaning power. Care for your car.
ESPN's Neil Everett here. This college football season, Nissan's putting you in the driver's seat. Go to NissanHeismanHouse.com. Build a customized Titan wrapped in your school's colors. Then register for a chance to win it. Or you can win a trip to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Enter the Nissan Heisman House sweepstakes. Take on today. Nissan, proud supporter of college athletics.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends 12-8-17. Open to residents of USDC 18 and older. Official rules at NissanUSA.com/Heisman House Sweepstakes. Sponsored by Nissan North America.
Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, show presented by Finley Toyota for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives. Come to Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Born and Raised, got the World Series game. Coach, you got a dog in this hunt for the series?
You know what? Like I said, I'm an Oakland A's fan, and again, I think I said it on the show early. I still remember my freshman year homecoming dance, and our dates were all mad at us because we couldn't leave because we were watching the A's and the Dodgers and watched Kirk Gibson hit the ball out of the yard. So I apologize to all the Dodgers fans, but I still take that personal, and I don't know if I can vote for them.
We forgive you, Coach.
Okay,
that's
there
right.
You go.
Caleb and
Coach LaRusso is a huge Dodger fan.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got every safety in his office sitting there watching the games. And
yeah, you have
it's
to.
Good. Yep.
It's Dodgers Nation around
here. We're close
here.
To L.A., so, you know, whatever. West Coast guy, right?
There you go. Fresno State, certainly one of the surprise teams in the conference. They've got 5 wins, 4-0 in conference play. Brand-new coach. And one of the impressive things about him, I think, Coach, is that 20 of the 22 players were there when he got there.
Yeah, they were. You know, last year they had a talented team last year, you know, and obviously there was a little, you know, who knows. But inherited a talented roster, really talented roster, good players, receiving corps pretty good. They did a great job of going out and getting a problem solver, which is a quarterback. So that transfer was huge for that offense, you know. And he's a good football coach. You know, he's done a great job of getting those guys. First of all, they're winning games playing defense. They're doing a great job of bend but don't break, keeping the ball in front of them, not giving up big plays. They don't turn the ball over. I think they've committed 6 turnovers all year, which is amazing at this point in the season. You do that, you're going to win a lot of football games. So they've done a good job there. And then they manage it on offense. They do a good job of, you know, they're pro style, so you're going to get a lot of one-timers. You're going to get a lot of, not trickeration, but just they're going to show you a lot of different formations and do different things out of them. The one thing we've seen in each game, they find a formation that they like against that defense to run the ball out of, and they do it over and over and over. You saw that in the San Diego State game. You saw that in a lot of games. And then, again, special teams, nothing fancy. We got to be ready for a lot of different things. But from what we've seen so far, nothing fancy, just really sound. So they're playing good sound football. Won a couple of games that have given them a lot of momentum. Momentum is a scary thing. You know, it's something that can really, you know, take a team to a whole nother level. You went through it, Caleb, when you were at UNLV, right? Momentum, you strike the match, and all of a sudden the fire's rolling, and that's kind of where they're at right now. So it's going to be a challenging game. We got to, you know, again, their defense is giving up 17 points, some odd points a game. We're scoring 30. We got to find a way to keep it in our wheelhouse in that stat. Defensively, we're giving up a bunch of points. You know, they're not scoring a bunch, but they're playing so well on D, they don't need to. We got to find a good we have to find a way to do a good job of playing a good, sound defensive game, but we got to put points on the board.
I was going to point out one of the things you said already about their offense, finding kind of a weakness in their opponent's defense and going to. They're not afraid to kind of run the cow till it's dying, you know, to run the same play over and over. So one of the things on defense, how do you minimize giving up their weakness? Do you blitz more? What do you do on defense, do you think, to keep them from exploiting something or going after something?
Well, you know, you got it's almost like a boxing match. You got to keep them, you know, you can't let them get in their stance. You got to have them moving around. I mean, you got to keep them off their game plan. And so you got to show them different looks. You know, you got to be sound, right? But you can't let them dictate what's going on. I mean, I think that's the whole thing in sports, football, every sport. Are you letting them dictate what's going on, or are you dictating what's going on? And that's one of the biggest things. We have to do a better job of, you know, again, you know, offensively, we have to do a better job of keeping people honest for four quarters, right? If we don't keep them honest for four quarters, then we're going to be in trouble. Defensively, we've got to get after the quarterback a little bit more. We are just not producing enough sacks and enough pressures on the quarterback. And because of that, people, they take their opportunities to run, shot play. You know what I'm saying? And they're not getting a lot of protection. You know, they're not worried about that a bunch. And you're seeing more shot plays in a game than you should see. But a lot of it's due to our inability to get to the quarterback. So there's a lot of different things. And then special teams, we got to come correct on that fast.
Also, defensively, you've been doing a great job of creating turnovers. So they're a team that hasn't turned it over. And you mentioned that they don't score a lot of points. And part of that's because they just have the ball and kind of dominate possessions and kind of methodically and soundly handle their business. So does turnovers have a special importance outside of the norm of every other
week?
Well,
it's huge. Number one, it'll be something they're not used to because, again, they don't turn the ball over. It's a stop of possession. So, you know, right now that's probably the biggest thing we're doing is turning the ball over. So we got to continue that. And they have a great understanding. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times we get caught up and, you know, I'll talk about it sometimes, this and that. And, you know, stats are great. But it's understanding your path to victory, right? So they do a great job of understanding that, hey, you know what? We get a lead. We're going to play great defense. We don't have to be flashy. It's about first downs at that point. I mean, you go back to the Air Force game and the struggles we had, right? That's kind of the plan coming out in the second half. You're sitting there going, like, all right, what do we got to do to win this game? It's about first downs. I mean, yeah, you got to keep scoring touchdowns and stuff, but first downs are probably at a higher premium because first downs chew the clock and eliminate opportunity for the other team to win. And that's what they've done a great job of, is executing and understanding the path to victory for them.
Looking for a great car deal? Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. We'll take a timeout and come back with more on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Learfield.
Hey, it's your buddy Gooch with some news from Capriotti's Sandwich Shop. They got this new sandwich that I am totally in love with, the Chicken Chipotle, but it's only available for a limited time. Now, personally, I've always been partial to Capriotti's signature sandwich, the Bobby, and I know a lot of you feel the same way. But get out of your comfort zone and try this new Chicken Chipotle sandwich, and I promise you'll love it. Unfortunately, it's only going to be available for a limited time. If you snooze, you lose. With 35 valley-wide locations, there's a Capriotti's near you. To find one, check out capriottis.com.
Halloween is approaching. You know the best way to celebrate Halloween is to buy a new car. It's like a candy bar. You can eat every single day for years to come until you sell it and buy a new candy bar. And at Finley Toyota, we have the best deals and the largest selection of candy bars. I mean new cars.
At Finley Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
I am craving chocolate. Does anybody have any chocolate? Anyone?
I'm Marcus Berg. When you've been hurt in a wreck, you need a lawyer that cares and is prepared to go to work for you. At Mossberg Injury Lawyers, we have the knowledge and experience to get you the money you deserve.
Get Mossberg on your side. Call 222-4555.
If you've been injured by someone else's bad decisions, Mossberg Injury Lawyers is here to help. Don't just take our word for it. Check out our reviews on Yelp or go to our website.
Get Mossberg on your side. Call 222-4555.
Walker's 24th Home for the Holidays is ready to begin. And this year, we're filling 35 homes with furniture for those in need in our community. If you know a family or individual in need, please write a letter explaining their situation and send it to me, Larry Altwitz, Walker Furniture, 301 South Martin Luther King Boulevard, 89106, or visit the Walker Furniture website to submit your letter. You can help us change someone's life and give a family hope for the future. Please send in your letters today.
Welcome back. We're at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, presented by Findlay Toyota. Rebel fans, post your fan pictures with the hashtag LesOlsonIT, and you might win a $100 Amazon gift card. Les Olson Company hopes that you win. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for contest details. Les Olson Company, your office technology partner. Rebels this Saturday, 7 o'clock kickoff in Fresno against Fresno State. Obviously a tough opponent. Last year, the Rebels knocked off the Bulldogs at Sam Boyd Stadium. The year before, that was a heartbreaker. The Rebels were driving late in the fourth quarter. They had an opportunity.
We got a home run by the Dodgers. The place is going nuts. So.
All right. That's Jock Peterson.
Is that Kirk Gibson again? No, it wasn't. All right.
No, he's not limping. Yeah. And that's not Dennis Eckersley.
That was for all the old A's fans.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's now 1-1 in the fifth, Dodgers and Astros.
If anyone was wondering what that cheering was going for.
That's right. It wasn't Caleb finishing his boneless wings.
No, although that was epic as well.
He put both hands up. I thought he wanted two drinks. He was excited.
Anyway, 2 years ago, last time the Rebels were in Fresno, Rebels were driving for what would have been a winning score. All of a sudden, the skies opened up, downpour, stopped the drive, and as soon as the Rebels had to give the ball up, the rain went away. Now, their defensive end, Nathan Madsen, afterwards called it divine intervention.
I was going to bring that up. I'm telling you, that's just the life of a Rebel, man. That's what we're trying to overcome, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, you look back on that year and, you know, during the time you don't ever think about it, but you're sitting there, you're 2-0, you won two in a row, and then you're playing at San Jose, and you got a 4th-and-10, all you do is need a stop, and you win 3 in a row, and they end up getting it, losing in overtime, then you go to Fresno, and, you know, you got a lead in the fourth quarter, ends up kind of dissolving a little bit, and you're driving the ball down the field, great opportunity, kick a field goal, you know, win a football game. And, it didn't just rain. It was an absolute monsoon. I never saw anything like that.
Never. It's not in Fresno, at least.
But it was only like 6 minutes. But anyways,
someone in Fresno,
I know the Lord loves the Rebels. He'll be better to us this time.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Well, you know, earlier on, people were saying, Fresno, they haven't beaten anybody. Well, now, San Diego State, they didn't only beat them, they dominated them.
That's right. Start to finish. You know?
Talk about the schedule. You look at their schedule, Washington, Alabama early in the year, obviously, and then the rest of the teams you could look at and say, they haven't really played any of the top tier, top echelon, but after last week in San Diego State, and not just who they played, but the way they played them, the way they kind of controlled that game wire to wire, San Diego State didn't look like the number 19 team at one. You know, they looked like, you know, they were playing against somebody who was a superior opponent, but Fresno State, give them credit. They've turned their season around. They've turned it around and are doing great things. We always look at the common opponents, so San Diego State being one of them. Also, San Jose being one of them, which is one I wanted to bring up, San Jose State played Fresno a little bit tougher. I think
they did. I mean, it was a close game in the fourth quarter. I mean,
right.
You had a 27 game. San Jose's got the ball. It's weird. When you look at college football now, some of that stuff, common opponents make a difference, but I tell you what, some of it's just the day you wake up and are you ready to go and how the ball's going to bounce and, you know, the energy flow and, you know, what's going on in the season. It's just a crazy deal. You can't really predict it, you know. I mean, who would have thought Oklahoma wouldn't have been undefeated by this point, you know? There's so many different things like that. So, you know, the thing that impressed me the most, and I'll be honest with you, the football coach, the thing that I really respect the most is physical football teams. You know, teams that are just darn right tough as hell, physical. And the one thing I saw in that game that just was like, wow, is they out-physicaled San Diego State. San Diego State is a downhill, load the box, run right over you. Defensively, they're going to stun you all game and just beat you up. And Fresno State had a great plan for it. They have a massive offensive line. They have a really big physical group, and they had a plan, and they stuck to it over and over and over. And, you know, they warm out, and, you know, by, you know, mid-second quarter, all of a sudden, you know, you got a team like San Diego State that now they're not stunning, and they're sitting in the three-man front and trying to play true, and that's not what they do. They can't do it. And that was a big win for those guys.
No question. We'll take our final break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Come back with more from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. The Tony Sanchez Radio Show, presented by Findlay Toyota, and this is Learfield.
a great time. Your entertainment destination, the South Point, invites you to experience the ultimate
great time
under one roof.
Bowling,
dancing, a live show, a movie, delicious dining, and one of South Point's 11 restaurants. So much to see, so much to do. You won't know where to start first. This week, make it a South Point week and discover for yourself why the South Point is your entertainment destination for a great time.
When Findlay Toyota has a sale, it's a really big deal. We're the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. We have the largest facility and the most new vehicles. So it stands to reason our annual year-end clearance sale is also the largest, bar none. If you're looking for a great deal on a new 2017 vehicle, come to Findlay Toyota for the largest selection and the lowest prices. I'm John Barr, and remember,
at Findlay Toyota, we'll do anything to sell you a car.
The winning spirit that drives the Rebel student-athletes is rooted in the strength of the communities we all call home in Nevada. As the state's leading mining company, Barrick Gold plays a big role in building strong communities throughout Nevada, where our employees live and work. Today, Barrick continues its support for higher education, the most important asset in any community. We're proud to sponsor the Governor's Series and the hundreds of student-athletes that represent our state, competing for the Rebels and the Wolfpack. At Barrick, we're all for Nevada, no matter who wins the Governor's Series.
The Governor Series, presented by NV Energy and Barrick Gold, is an all-sport competition between Nevada's two premier collegiate athletic departments, the Rebels in the South and the Wolfpack in the North. Points will be awarded equally for each sport during the head-to-head competition between the Rebels and the Wolfpack, and the universities will also compete in the classroom, as this series uniquely incorporates points for academic achievement by student-athletes. Follow the standings all season long at unlvrebels.com/Governor Series.
All right, welcome back. For remaining moments with head coach Tony Sanchez and Caleb Herring, yours truly, Russ Langer, at Findlay Toyota. We speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Findlay Toyota. One of the things that Fresno State did so successfully against San Diego State, they loaded up the box so well and stopped the run.
Yeah, they did. They really, really did. And, you know, again, you know, we've talked about it. Everyone knows we're going to run the football. I mean, we're averaging, I think, 280 yards a game. We're on top rush offenses in the country. You know, we had a year-high 375 last week. So if I'm them and I'm looking at us, I'm saying, okay, we're going to load that box up. Show us you can throw it. So we have to do a really good job of pushing the ball down the football field and being balanced. And if we do that, it gives us our greatest opportunity.
I think it's going to start early. I think setting the tone early, showing the willingness to complete passes and stretch the field, maybe sometimes not even completing them, just stretching the field, showing 100%. That you're willing to do it. Those safeties have to play it true, like Coach said earlier in the game or earlier in the show. Playing it true, it makes it a whole different ballgame. Those safeties run. The safeties are usually the people that you don't account for in the run game. You do your checks based off of them, where they're rotated to. But if they're running the alleys, that's a guy that you're not counting in your box count to block, unless he's obviously blitzing or something like that. So if they're running the alleys hard like that, it makes it hard for Lexington or Campbell or whoever's trying to tote the ball to find anywhere to go. So keeping those safeties back is going to be key this week.
How good is number 33?
You know, he's what a great story. He's a walk-on there, you know, but he's from the Valley. And, you know, that's why they put the V on the back of their helmet. And, you know, as a football fan, you got to love a guy like that, a walk-on guy that comes on in and it becomes an integral part of an offense, helps them, you know, beat a big-time team last week. And, you know, heck, my hat's off to him, man. He's a great football player, and, you know, respect the hell out of him. So he's a good – they do a good job there. You know, they're kind of running back by committee right now. A bunch of different guys, usually four or five guys run the football for him. So good player.
And running back by committee is interesting. It keeps guys keeps the legs fresh.
Yeah, well, they're young. They're trying to figure it out there. I mean, there's some areas where they're extremely talented there. I think they've got a bunch of young guys that are learning, and then 33 comes in and brings toughness.
Absolutely. That toughness is going to be something that you're going to have to look forward to, but there's some toughness on both sides of the ball. Well, yeah. toughness for our side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously.
There we go.
You know, we want to combat it.
Tony's looking forward to finishing that drink right there.
There you go.
All right, so once again, this coming Saturday, Rebels at Fresno State at 7 o'clock. Caleb and I will have the pregame for you on ESPN 1100 and across the Rebel Football Network on Learfield at exactly 6:30 from Fresno. Coach, we'll see you on the plane.
All right, go Rebs.
All right, go Rebs, Caleb. Have a good rest of the week.
I will, and I'll enjoy the rest of this game.
All right, here we go. That's the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. From Born and Raised, Finley Toyota, we thank everybody, and have a great night, everyone.
On the Rebel Sports Network, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Brought to you by Country Financial. At Country Financial, we know planning for your future can feel overwhelming, but something this important deserves attention. Take simple steps today at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.